Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The small business advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 at the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. And very excited about having our good friend John Harrison back on the show. John's a great member of our Brain Trust. More than 6 years he's been hanging out with us. Certified financial planner, ordained minister, author of Making Mammon Serve You, also a novel that's really a cutting-edge novel, Fighting Back. It was his last important work, and he's our good friend, John. Welcome back.
Great to be here, Jeff.
So in the spirit of the scary season coming up, You're offering us some scary investments that didn't turn out so well, right?
Yeah, it's there are certain temptations for the investing public that people often fall prey to, and I'm focusing particularly on the ones that the self-employed or business owners I've seen do, and the outcomes can be scream-inducing. I'll give you an idea of what I mean. I'm thinking of one particular man that I met who had a basic asset allocation problem. And that's this, that people put all their money into illiquid investments when the biggest chunk of their net worth is already illiquid, i.e. your business and your home. And so what happens is, you know, we've been years and years of declining interest rates, and you can't get good interest out of a bank or a CD or, an investment-grade bond. And there are always illiquid investments promising really high rates of income, you know, 8%, 9%. And that's great for an income investment, but you can't readily convert these things to cash because there's not really much of a market for them. And there's all kinds of investments that fit the bill, are real, you know, non-traded real estate investment trusts, certain kinds of debt obligations, partnerships, shares. They all promise high income, sometimes even tax breaks. But the risk of those kind of investments going south is much bigger than the old tried and true, you know, stocks, bonds, cash, traditional.
There's an old saying in the farming community that where somebody says they're land poor.
Yeah,
they might be multimillionaires in terms of the value of the land, but if that's all they own, they're land poor because if they need, you know, you can't go out and you know, you can always borrow against it, but that's not exactly like writing a check.
Exactly. So one person that I met had an illiquid asset that on January 1st of this year marked to market, which is to say that it revalued itself at about one third of what it had been worth.
Whoa.
On the first December 31st. It gets worse because this investment was in an IRA account.
Mm.
So the client is over the age of 70, was required to take a required minimum distribution from the IRA based on its 12/31 value.
Right.
Even though the current value is just a third of that. And if he doesn't, you know, he can't get money out, it's not liquid. But if he doesn't take the requirement of distribution, he owes a tax penalty of 50% of the amount he should have
it's
taken.
It's a tax event. The dropping of the value, the loss of an illiquid asset and value, a mark-to-market, as you say, created a taxable event for him.
Exactly.
Phantom income.
Exactly. And that's always painful when you
have to. Wow. Well, that is
a tax on money you didn't get.
I got to be honest, John, that's a scary scenario I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
I never thought about that one. Holy mackerel.
That kind of thing can happen. And there's all sorts of reasons to sort of stick with the tried and true. Another example that comes to my mind is people who become very successful in a particular line of work and then just decide, because maybe they're a little bored with that, they start investing in businesses they don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a guy who had grown a hair salon into a really powerhouse little business. And he had kind of a cult following in the city, and he had multiple stylists who worked for him. And it was a successful little shop, and he lived pretty well. And then he decided he was going to open a retail store. Mm-hmm. And I suggested, well, how about more salons? You could duplicate what you've already proven you can do.
He didn't understand much about inventory, did he?
No.
Or fashion.
He went into this other line of work, and it didn't work. And his salon ended up subsidizing the failed store, and they ultimately both failed.
Oh, yeah, because he took his eye off the ball.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I've seen that happen so many times, John. That story is a scary story, but I've seen that happen where somebody, they caught lightning in a bottle. They were really smart. They had a certain aptitude for a certain thing. They built it up, and it was beautiful. But then they got to thinking that, you know, this wasn't a one-off thing. I'm smart enough. I can do this again.
Exactly.
Well, that's... That may or may not be true, folks.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.